This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back, dear viewers, to Tafsir of Surah Yasin with Embracing Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَقَدْ حَقَّ الْقَوْلُ عَلَىٰ أَكْثَرِهِمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. لَقَدْ حَقَّ الْقَوْلُ عَلَىٰ أَكْثَرِهِمْ. The qawl, the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it became a reality, it became manifest, it became a reality upon most of them, and because of this, فَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ, they're not going to be believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does this mean over here? In the past verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that Allah had sent the Qur'an down to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لِتُنذِرَ قَوْمًا مَا أُنذِرَ آبَاؤُهُمْ فَهُمْ غَافِلُونَ, that he did so that you may warn a people whose forefathers hadn't been warned, i.e. the close forefathers, they hadn't been warned, فَهُمْ غَافِلُونَ, and because of that they are heedless away from Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. Now he's saying that just be wary and considerate and remember the fact that most people in humanity, there is a decree from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon them that they're not going to end up believing, and that's because shaitan asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for him to be granted respite so that he can mislead people. And many people, they end up becoming misled. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I send messengers down for people of intellect and for people who want to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for people who want to come closer to the message, for people who want a shot at Jannah. He says, those are the people that are going to be accepting the message. Otherwise, لَقَدْ حَقَّ الْقَوْلُ عَلَىٰ أَكْثَرِهِمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Most people, there's already a decree, they're not going to end up believing. Now, let me ask you a question, and you're probably asking yourself this question as well. If there's already a decree from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that many people are not going to believe, then what's the point to begin with of trying? Well, the reality is you don't know whose side and which side you will be on, okay? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when a similar question had come to him, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told the companions, he said, اعملوا فكل ميسر لما خلق له. Do, because every single person has been facilitated for whatever he's been created for. So our job is to simply do the actions, hoping from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we'll be granted Jannah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is as such, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's generosity is as such, that if someone comes to him sincerely, there is no way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reject that person. But if the person is coming to the deen of Allah, the religion of Allah, apparently, but inside, internally, the person is not sincere, then maybe even towards the end of the person's life, they may end up going astray, and they may end up going another direction, so that it becomes manifest and clear to public and the people that that person never really intended righteous intentions when he was coming closer to the deen, when he was acting, practicing basically. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see shining sincerity within your heart. And when he sees that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows you to be facilitated for the path of Jannah. Allah says about these people who will be entered into hellfire, he says, إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا فِي أَعْنَاقِهِمْ أَغْلَالًا فَهِيَ إِلَى الْأَذْقَانِ فَهُمْ مُقْمَحُونَ. He says that we have made within the necks of these person, we have made within the necks of these people collars that are made of iron, and these collars, they go all the way to the chin of the individual. فَهُمْ مُقْمَحُونَ, and that's causing their faces to be raised up. Now, this is not a reality, this is basically a metaphor. What does this mean? Allah is saying that Allah has placed within the necks of people who happen to be disbelievers, who happen to be dwellers of hellfire, He's made them such that they have collars made of iron around their neck, and that's causing their all the way till their chin as well, and that's causing them to not be able to put their necks down. Okay? فَهُمْ مُقْمَحُونَ. And then Allah continues. I'll tell you what the metaphor is about after I explain the next verse, because they're related. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. And we have placed before them, we've placed before them a barrier, okay? And we've placed also behind them a barrier as well. And because of these two barriers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed before and behind the individual, فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ, because of that we've covered them up from every single direction and they're not able to see. Now what are they not able to see? They're not able to see guidance. You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala many a times He refers to our religion as a shira'. Allah says in the Quran, لِكُلٍ جَعَلْنَا مِنْكُمْ شِرَعَةً وَمِنْهَاجًا. For every single person or for every single nation amidst you, I've made a shira'a and a minhaj as well. And both of those, the mufassirin, the scholars of tafsir, they say both of those, well, there's two opinions. Some say minhaj and shira'a are the same thing. Others say actually minhaj and shira'a are two different things. And the second opinion, based on that, and that's what I believe is the case as well, because what's the point of repeating the same thing over and over? That's something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wouldn't do in the Qur'an, right? So the correct view is that those two are different things. There's a minhaj and there's a shir'a as well. Basically, and they're both in reference to religion though. Minhaj is highlighting the clarity of the religion, because the word an-nahaj, it means clarity. And shir'a is highlighting the satiating nature of religion and the fulfilling nature of religion. You know, there are many people who are away from religion and they say what? They say, you know what, I'm not fulfilled. There's something missing in my life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds those people that, hey, the religion is a shir'a, it's a water body. It's like a little pond to which animals come and human beings also come, and then they can drink from there. So when you drink from this pond, you become satiated and satisfied. That's the thing about this religion. So many times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to this religion as a pond, as some water that satiates and satisfies human beings. So over here, Allah is saying that I have placed within the necks of some people, listen very carefully here, because it's a metaphor and I'm trying to break it down here, okay? I have placed within the necks of some people iron collars, and those collars are all the way till their chin. You know those collars that you wear, that sometimes they used to wear in draconian times, where the collar would have the lever at this side, and so the person can't put their heads down. And he says, فَهُمْ مُقْمَحُونَ, and because of that, their heads are raised. Because al-ibil al-qumah or al-qimah, there's two ways to pronounce that, was basically the camel that would try to drink water within the shahra qumahin, as a poet says. That he would go and drink water in a time where it's already very cold. And specifically that refers to the month of December and the month of January, because those are relatively cold months, right? And that's why the 2 months that the Arabs refer to as shahra Qimahin are Kanun al-Awwal and Kanun al-Thani, which is December and January. This is a time in which many countries in the world are very, very cold. Okay, not everywhere in the world, of course, as you know, weathers are different, but the Arabian culture had it, that at this time it's going to be very cold weather. So the camels would go and they would try to drink water. And when they would try to drink water, the pond is freezing cold. So every time they would put their mouths in there, it would be so cold that they would put it back up. And the Arabs, they started to refer to that habit of a camel, or that type of camel, or that scenario of a camel as camels which are qimah. Because they're putting their heads in, they're trying to drink water, but it's freezing cold, so they bring their heads right back up, and it's all the way up. And if you've ever seen a camel, you know the neck is very high, and also the camel kind of raises the head as well, a little bit like this, okay? So that description is all being described in the word muqmihun, or muqmahun. And why is that happening? Why is that being described? Allah is saying that just as a camel is unable to get that pond, similarly, the pond of Sharia is right before these people, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put a metaphorical iron collar around the necks of these people that they can't even look down and drink from this pond that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made. So it's Allah who guides people. And that's why even those who've been granted the guidance, they've been asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to repeatedly, 17 times a day, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for even more guidance. And that's why we are commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our salawat to read, Surah Al-Fatiha, which has the question of ours to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. Oh Allah, grant us this path and give us guidance to it as well. فَهُمْ مُقْمَحُونَ وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا. And this is further descriptive of how far away they happen to be from this guidance. Not only are they not able to put their necks down to drink from the pond of guidance, rather, it's more than that. They've also been blocked as well from every direction. And all of this is happening not because Allah wants you to be misguided. Because sometimes people take this and they say, oh, because God has decreed, that means Allah wants misguidance for people. That's not the case. If Allah wants misguidance for people, then why would He send this book down? Why would He send messengers down? Why would He send prophets down? And some reports have it that there were 124,000 prophets. So why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send all these prophets and messengers if He really wanted misguidance for people? That's not what Allah wants. Allah wants guidance for you. Allah wants ease for you. Allah wants comfort for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want misery for you in this life or the next. But it's man who chooses, or some men or some women who choose not to accept that guidance. It's right before you, the message. It's your choice and my choice whether we take it or not. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ وَسَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ. And it's equal upon them. أَأَنذَرْتَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُنذِرْهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. It's equal whether you warn them, O Muhammad, or you don't warn them, they're not going to end up believing. Now over here, I'm going to pause and say something very important because some people may misunderstand this. They'll say, well, if Allah has already decreed and it's equal whether their people are warned or not, what's the point of warning? No. That's not what's going on over here. Allah is telling you that because of the infinite knowledge of Allah, Allah knows what's going to happen in the future anyways. He knows that which was and that which is and that which will be and that which will not be and that which wasn't, if it were to be, how it would have been. This is the knowledge of Allah. Allah knows when a leaf falls from a tree, Allah knows about that leaf as well. وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا. Allah's knowledge is infinite and it's limitless. Allah is just trying to tell the Prophet ﷺ that through my limitless and infinite knowledge, I know. Now, I'll give you a finite example of this. A father has 5 kids or 7 kids, or 3 kids. Most of us, you know, probably have just 3 or 4 kids, right? But some people, they go beyond and they have like 10, 12 kids. Alhamdulillah, may Allah give you more children. Allahumma ameen, ya Rab. So, the point is that within those children of yours, who you have raised and you have born and you have given birth to and you have fed, you know that this child, if you work with him like this, then it's going to work. And if you do it that way, it's not going to work. You know that if you give this task to Zayd or Ubaid, it's going to happen or it's not going to happen. Because those are your children. Similarly, Allah's knowledge, and we have finite knowledge, and that's why even sometimes we say, oh, it's going to happen that way, and it doesn't end up happening that way, right? وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. And Allah has a much greater example. This is just a finite world. This is only to make Allah's example closer to you. Otherwise, Allah's example is nothing like ours, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is infinite and limitless in every which way. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows because of this infinite knowledge of His, and because of this limitless knowledge of His, this knowledge of the azal and the abad, this knowledge of the past, present, and the future, this knowledge of even possibilities that never happen, if they were to happen, how they would have panned out and planned out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the world in this way, and because of that, He's telling the Prophet ﷺ that, hey, it's going to be equal whether you warn them or not, because they're not going to believe, but you got to do your job anyways, because that is your job. That is your job, and that is to guide to the message. إِنَّمَا تُنذِرُ مَنِ اتَّبَعَ الذِّكْرَ وَخَشِيَ الرَّحْمَنَ بِالْغَيْبِ فَبَشِّرْهُ بِمَغْفِرَةٍ وَأَجْرٍ كَرِيمٍ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the only person who will truly accept your message is the person who follows the reminder, is the person who follows the book, because the word dhikr is also used for the Qur'an as well. And so the person who will actually accept that warning, the person who will be compelled and affected by that warning, the person who will actually reap the fruits of that warning, is the individual who remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is the person who accepts this message as well and the reminder when it comes to him. And he has some degree of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his privacy as well. You know, there are those people out there who basically have went away from the ideals of even human beings. Let's not even talk about religion for a second. Okay? To a degree that they've kind of become animals. Now this person, it's hard to engage with them because they have completely covered up their humanity within them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying those type of people, they're not going to be able to be affected by the message. But there are those people who when they sit by themselves, even if they're far away from God, and even if they're far away from religion, they still have some degree of shyness from God. They still have some degree of sensibility and humanity within them. These are the people who will be impacted most likely by your message. As for someone who's become completely away from God, in a way where they've basically become an animal, like a person who has committed 100 homicides, but even that, there are examples in history that people can come back from that, because there may be something that is within the heart, which is known as the wa'idh of Allah, the warner and the admonisher of Allah. But when that guilt also dies, then it's finished. There's no chances Fir'aun is going to come back when he's gotten to that level of tughyan, transgression. There's no chances that people like Fir'aun are going to come back, because when the wa'idh of Allah, when that admonisher of Allah has completely died, it's pretty much done, okay? It's pretty much done. But we still don't give rulings on human beings, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the hearts of people, as the hadith has it, that the hearts of people are between the two fingers of Allah. يُقَلِّبُهَا كَيْفَ يَشَاءَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses to move it in whichever direction, so as he pleases. فَبَشِّرْهُ بِمَغْفِرَةٍ وَأَجْرٍ كَرِيمٍ. So warn that person who accepts your warning. So give that person the glad tiding of forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also ajr kareem, and also reward which is very, very benevolent, and also reward which is very, very noble and honorable as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives this person who accepts the warning from the Prophet two things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him mercy from the sins that he'd committed in the past, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him forgiveness from the sins that he'd committed in the past, and he also gives them a reward which is very noble. Because any person who's coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking for two things. You're looking for your slate to be cleaned. You're looking for your sins to be cleaned. And at the same time, you're also looking to be rewarded. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the person who accepts the guidance from the Prophet as he's delivering it, and he takes the message in the Quran and he implements it within his life, and he accepts it as the Prophet has given it, that person will be given two rewards. He'll be forgiven for all of his sins, and he will also be met with a very noble reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, all of this over here, from verse number 1 all the way till verse number 11, and even 12 by the way, all of this is the first segment of the surah. And as we go through the surah bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, what I'll do is, I'll stop at the different segments. And I'll say, okay, from here to here was one segment. From here to here was another segment, and so forth. Why? Because there is this prevalent idea in the minds of some people, Orientalists and others, who believe that the Qur'an has no pattern to it. And we believe and argue that the Qur'an has a beautiful pattern to it. But it takes a level of literary ability for you to be able to see that pattern. And it takes a level of analysis as well within the words of the Qur'an and the sentences and the paragraphs of the Qur'an, through which you can see that, oh, there's a complete thought here that started at this point and it finished over here. In that thought, there was a preface, there was the meat of the thought, and there was also a conclusion of the thought as well. And that thought is very connected to the next one as well, and so forth. And just like that, the Qur'an has these segments that are very, very interconnected. And this is the case with Surah Yasin as well. You know, when I looked at the surah and I tried to break it down into different sections, to be honest with you, even I myself was taken aback at how beautifully the surah is connected one segment to another. So over here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts off the first segment of the surah. He starts it off with the first five ayat. Okay, what are they? He tells you, Yasin wal Qur'an al-Hakim, innaka lamina al-mursaleen. That Yasin, And then he talks about the Quran. And he says to the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you are among the messengers of God upon the right path, and you've been granted this Quran, which happens to be a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he goes into another subsection of the segment, and he says that you've been granted this Quran, O Muhammad, so that you may warn people. Now, when you warn people, then there's going to be circumstances that those people happen to be in. Some of those people may accept the message and others will not. So what's going to happen to those people who don't accept your warnings, O Muhammad? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes those people. And after he describes all of that, he goes and gives us a conclusion. And he says, "Inna nahnu nuhyi al-mawta وَنَكْتُبُ مَا قَدَّمُوا وَآثَارَهُمْ وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ أَحْصَيْنَاهُ فِي إِمَامٍ مُبِينٍ." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we are the ones who will resurrect everyone. إِنَّا نَحْنُ نُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى وَنَكْتُبُ مَا قَدَّمُوا وَآثَارَهُمْ. And we will write whatever they had delivered, whatever actions they had put forth as well. We'll write those down. Whatever actions they sent before, to the afterlife, we'll write those down, وَآثَارَهُمْ as well, and we will also write down all of the footprints of these people as well. And what does this mean? Now, remember, Allah is talking in this segment about the Qur'an, which is the first five verses. Then in the second segment, He's talking about the people who are warned by the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then He finishes it off with the conclusion, and He says that you have to be wary and considerate of the fact that everything you're doing, I'm writing it down. I'm the one who will resurrect people on the Day of Judgment. And I'm writing down everything that was happening. Those people who were warned, I'm writing down their reactions. The ones who accepted the message, their reactions have been written down. The ones who rejected the message, their reactions have been written down as well. Okay? Their reactions have been written down as well. And even though Allah in these verses doesn't mention explicitly the people who did righteous deeds, He only mentions those people who met the message of the prophets with rejection. It's understood that even those who met the message of the Prophet ﷺ not with rejection but rather with acceptance, even those are being indicated within these verses. And that's because the conclusion is general. Allah is saying, I'm the one who resurrects people, and I have written down everything that they have put forth, and I've also written down their prints as well, meaning all of the remains of their actions as well. And the reason why we know that this last conclusion is in effect referring to those people who accepted the message and those who rejected, even though the ones accepting are not explicitly mentioned, is because Allah's Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used this hadith, this particular ayah, when he was talking about the people of Banu Salama. Because there was a group of people from Banu Salama, they wanted to come and move closer to the masjid. The Prophet ﷺ said, stay where you are, because when you walk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is writing down your athar. He's writing down your footprints. Okay? So that's a positive footprint, not a negative one. So even though there is no mention of the people who accepted the message, they're already understood, because وَبِضِدِّهَا تَتَبَيَّنُ الْأَشْيَاءُ, and through the opposites we understand the other sides of the opposite as well. So if you have one side of the coin, you see it, you know there's another side of the coin as well. So if Allah mentioned the ones who rejected the message, naturally there's also those who accepted the message. So the conclusion is inclusive of both of those. إِنَّا نَحْنُ نُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى وَنَكْتُبُ مَا قَدَّمُوا وَآثَارَهُمْ وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ أَحْصَيْنَاهُ فِي إِمَامٍ مُبِينٍ. And everything, we have collected it together in Al-Imam Al-Mubin, in the registrar. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a register. And in that register, Allah has collected all of the information. So any action we do is being recorded. And on the Day of Judgment, we're going to وَنُسْأَلُوا بَعْدَهَا عَنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. We're going to be asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about everything. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to have a positive footprint in this life. And the footprint, by the way, is basically your sadaqah jariyah or your sayyi'ah jariyah. It's your charity that doesn't come to an end. It's your continuous charity, and similarly your continuous evil as well. Because there are those people in this world who keep on investing into continuous charity, and they give to, for example, a masjid to make a house of Allah, or they give to ilm and knowledge so that people of knowledge can prevail and children can learn and become ulama and deliver the message of the messengers as well. But then there are those people who also invest in other things which are evil, and they end up investing evil and putting forth evil for their afterlife. So long as that evil is continuous, they will be getting reward, but not reward, rather being punished for the evil that continues within this world. Okay, so that is like continuous evil. And then there are those people who do righteous deeds and they want to accumulate positive reward. And so they will also be rewarded. All of that is being recorded. And all of that is the footprint that Allah is talking about. All of that is the metaphorical footprint that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about within this verse. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us have positive footprints within this life so that we meet Allah and we are granted our book with our right hands, not with our left. Allahumma ameen wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'een.